What's up, everybody? This is Super Hungry, Conversations with Not-So-Starving Artists, and I'm your host, Virginia Anzengruber. I'm really excited to bring you a brand new episode. I am currently really sick. My eyes are leaking. My nose is leaking. I hope I'm painting you a really attractive picture right now, because I've basically been wearing a hoodie, trying to sweat out a fever 2 days. So any preconceptions you had about me being attractive, I hope are now out the window because I'm a disgusting sick ball. But I'm really excited because I got to speak to multi-platinum recording artist Aaron Carter about a week ago. He's got a brand new EP out called Love, and so we got to have a nice conversation about a lot of stuff, really. We kind of talked about what it was like for him to produce an EP after years as sort of a bubblegum pop star, and what it means for him to be able to add the title of producer to every one of his tracks, you know, and really how he's evolved with his fans, how he's going to continue to evolve as an artist. And, you know, it was just a really great conversation. I'm not going to lie. I really enjoyed it. As always, when you're doing a phone conversation, sometimes the audio can be a little spotty, so apologies in that regard, but he had a lot of really great stuff to say, man. So if you are a fan of pop music in general, I genuinely really encourage you to just listen to this interview. It's about 20 minutes, but it was really good. And yeah, just some life updates, I guess. Currently recording this in our basement, living with some friends lately, and they're all musicians, so it's really nice to come home to music all the time. And I'm sitting in the basement looking at some drums and guitars, and it basically looks like a scene from Almost Famous down here, and I love it because there's always creativity and music and stuff happening at the house, so you come home and you're kind of encouraged to keep doing your own thing. So I will say that my husband and I, we opened our production company at the beginning of March this month. We had our official launch party. So things are happening, y'all, and we got some big announcements for the podcast coming up soon. As you know, relocated from Los Angeles to Grand Rapids, Michigan, where we are now. So I'm really excited because I'm getting involved with the community here and going to have some really incredible Grand Rapids and West Michigan-based artists on the show coming up. So I'm really excited for that. And yeah, going to a Comic-Con this weekend in Elkhart, Indiana. Going to be talking to Trace Beaulieu and Frank Conniff from Mystery Science Theater. So if by next Monday I'm just dead, you'll know that I died of happiness. It's a good way to go. But you know them as the Mads from Mystery Science Theater. They are touring with The Mads Are Back, and we're going to have them on the show. And I am so excited, I could almost throw up. But I think that's probably it. Don't want to talk super long. My really attractive sick voice is just what you guys want to hear right now. But yeah, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of new stuff, a lot of exciting stuff, and I'm excited to bring it to you guys. I think sometimes, you know, I'm not gonna lie, it's hard to try to keep up with all the things that I'm involved in right now. Opening a business is very draining and really hard, and so I apologize for not having a newer episode sooner, but I promise you guys, if you stick with me and keep listening to the show and keep sharing the show, it's just going to keep getting better and better, and the guests that we're going to have are going to be really inspiring for you. I'm really, really excited. So if you have any questions, comments, anything, as always, you can email me at superhungrypodcast@gmail.com, or you can check out any of the old episodes at superhungrypodcast.com. So I really hope you enjoy this upcoming episode, brand new, with the one and only Aaron Carter.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to me today. My show is a podcast. It's called Super Hungry, Conversations with Not-So-Starving Artists. And so I'm actually really excited to talk to you all about your new EP, because I'm going to be really honest with you. I was bumping sooner or later at the gym this morning so hard, man. It was giving me life on the elliptical at 6:30 a.m. when I was trying to get there this morning. So my first question for you is, you know, this is your first, you know, new major music in a while now. So what was the inspiration for creating Love? And, you know, you wrote and produced every song on the EP. What was the inspiration for that?
You know, the inspiration for it was, I think it really came, you know, just I've always been making, you know, beats, you know, behind closed doors. It was always something that like I wanted to really pursue. And I think just after working with a bunch of other music producers and them trying to take their demos that I recorded that were like, you know, Chris Brown demos that didn't get picked up by those people, gave them to me, try to get me record deals with those songs, and no producers could do that. And then I always was telling people, I'm like, you know, I'm a producer too. Like, listen, hear me out, listen to it, like, you know, my sound, and, you know, do something with me. And no one ever did. And but no one ever could get me record deals either over the last 10 years with any of their music. So I was like, you know, I'm going to do this myself and produce my own music and use my own resources and, you know, link up with some good people that I know and some writers and stuff. So, like, you know, that, and so that's what I did. So, and then the inspiration behind it came from, you know, being like the writing content, what I wrote about was about being in like a bad relationship, not feeling loved. So I was kind of writing it about that, you know, and I ended up not being with that person and moving on with my life. And my EP that I wrote, you know, produced with my team of co-writers and who helped write with me, helped write the project. And I have a co-producer that helped co-produce the project with me. And, like the beats. And, you know, I just took it and ran with it and stuck with the story. And it was called Love. And then I went and, before I even started recording, like the songs, I came with the concept Love for the name of my new album. And, I got a tattoo on the side of my neck. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So and then I just kind of believed in myself and then, released, Fool's Gold, the record I produced and wrote and had, you know, my team work with me on and released it independently. And it made some noise. I released a music video with it that I directed as well. And I funded the whole thing and put all my own money into it. And the gamble paid off because Steve Zapp with Sony Records came and was like, hey, you know, let's do something, you know, let's go get you a deal. And, you know, there was a lot of people that doubted me or didn't think I could ever do it again or thought I was dead or, you know, all these crazy things, you know, other things I don't really want to say, but like really negative stuff. And, it's been a constant battle, you know, and I'm just trying to, you know, do the best that I can, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I will say as a music fan and somebody who, like, I'm also a really big pop music fan, I was very, very impressed with, you know, the EP so far and what I've heard because, I mean, it leads into one of my other questions because, you know, it has been a while since you've you know, made a major record, but the songs sound so fresh. Like, you came at it so fresh, you know what I mean? The production is so tight. Everything is so clean. What do you think in the current music landscape really sort of influenced some of your production and writing when you were making Love?
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess my influences just come from, like, people, you know, that I grew up listening to. But really, for this project, I didn't really want to be influenced by anything. I didn't even listen to the radio or anything that was going on when I was doing this project. So, actually. And this is what came from it, you know. I didn't want to be influenced by anybody else. I didn't want to be biting anybody else. I wanted to do my own sound and do my own thing so that, like, people understood, like, what I'm about. That's being able to identify with my music and not just, you know, talking about, like, you won't catch me in interviews saying, oh yeah, who's the producer on that record? Who's the producer on that? Oh yeah, so this one producer did. No, that's not me. I'm the producer. A co-producer with me that works on the beats with me, but I'm the producer. And that's my story. And that's what I go off of. And that's like my, you know, my platform, my ammunition, you know? I was able to do it myself and get myself a record deal with Sony Records via Steve Zapp, nobody else could ever, all the other record labels were like, no, Aaron Carter's a joke. He'll never be back again, ever. He'll never be able to do it again. And now it's like, I'm so grateful because I'm looking at it. I'm like, a single sooner or later that I released 3 weeks ago has almost 13 million plays on it on Spotify in less than a month. You know, 13 million. It's being streamed 1 million times a day all over the world, worldwide. So, you know, and it's entering into the, it's in the top 40 radio charts and the Billboard charts, you know, it's like, and I'm able to be like, wow, you know, like that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cool. What was the writing and, you know, what was like a typical day for you in the studio when you guys were together and you were, you know, putting all this stuff together for the EP? What would a typical writing and producing day look like for you?
I mean, the beats were already done, so I'd already do the beats. I'd come in with the beats. We'd go through some of my beats that I had already made. So that's one. And then we would start with, I would come up with the title, and this is where we're going to go with the title. And, you know, I usually, like, would write the, I'll write, like, the verses, you know, usually, like, the verses are the my main rights, and then I'll, like, a lot of the choruses, I'll do a lot of the writing, too. And then, you know, my team helps me, and they put their input in and to do a great job. And then my co-producer comes in after. And then after we do the song to my beat, he just spices up that beat a little bit. And then boom, we're done.
That's awesome. I love how you said, like, it's so simple. Then boom, we're done. Like, everything wasn't super, like, detailed and calibrated. But I really like that. I like that, you know, you came in with the stuff that you were had already been working on. Like you said, you made the beat. So, you know, you were coming in and you must have already sort of had a vision for how you wanted some of these beats to go down and how, you know, wanted to shape them into a final song.
Sooner or later, one of my best friends, Louie, he was one of the co-writers on the whole project with me. And we had sooner or later almost the whole song written and done before we even got to the studio to finish the rest of it with everyone else. So, like, yeah, it's just like vibe sessions at my house in Malibu. Like, I was chilling at my house in Malibu, make the beat. Louie came over and we started writing later. You know, we did, and we brought it to the rest of the team. We're like, yeah, we got this song. It's pretty much done. So, like, we did it.
That's so awesome. So a question for more of our musically inclined listeners, because a lot of the audience for my podcast is working artists or aspiring artists, and I have a lot of musicians in particular. What are the hardest things you think about making music that maybe a lot of people wouldn't guess would be like one of the hardest things? You know, is it the beats? Is it the lyrics? Like, for you, what do you think is the most challenging part of creating an original song?
The challenges I have are, like, just being inspired and in the right mood to do it. Like, I could write the music, actually, but making the beat, I have to really be inspired and in a good mood or in a really bad mood. One of the two. It's, like, a really high or a really low. That's when I make beats. I make beats when I'm really happy, super happy, or really, really, really sad. So.
Cool. I like that. So I would say that, like I said, a lot of our listeners are, you know, aspiring artists, people that, you know, would one day hope to make a career out of it. Do you have any advice you could give to, you know, listeners who are maybe young or up and coming or are, you know, toying with an idea of something but are, you know, a little afraid to take that first step? You know, as somebody who has taken as much time as you've been in the industry for such a long time and you've taken such you know, care to craft love, you know, what kind of advice could you give as somebody who took his time and really is coming back with something that's incredible and totally personal and that you have complete authorship over?
Well, I would say the thing about me that I can relate to people that maybe may not have had the fan base platform that I have had. But I fell on my face and I kind of lost it all. And then people were ashamed of me and ashamed to be fans of me, kind of, you know, and tell their friends about my music and stuff. I don't know why, but lots of reasons. But I was able to just use that. And even with all odds against me, everybody saying I'll never be able to be nothing, all record labels saying, go away, Aaron Carter. Everybody just denying me, I still kept doing it with obstacles of the kind of things that, like, normal people might have to deal with who don't have a bunch of fans already. So I was faced with that, and I still am faced with that. And I just kept doing it. And you have to just keep pursuing and keep at it, you know, really, like, focus on it. You can't expect to be, like, 17, 18 years old and be a producer-songwriter. You need years of experience to be able to build and to get to a place to where you can do it and really work on your craft and get yourself to a good point and use people as references, you know, and study those people, you know. That's the greats of the greatest do that.
Well, it's funny you spoke about your fan base, and I actually, if it's okay, I have a question that one of our listeners, Abby from Chicago, she actually reached out to me when she knew that I was going to be interviewing you and speaking to you, and she is actually a hardcore AC soldier. And so the question that she had for you was, she seems to feel that and really feel that sense of community from your fandom. How do you feel like that has maybe two parts, really, is where does your sense of loyalty come from? And then how do you feel like your fandom has changed over the years? Because you do have fans that have followed you through your whole journey.
I think I just, you know, I paid attention when I started social media, started developing, and fans reaching out to me and hearing all kinds of different stories of them growing up with me and seeing all their messages. And so I just felt like, you know, they've been like a family to me. And, you know, when I, you know, kind of lost my whole family because of the music industry. So, but then I gained this other surrogate family, aka my fans.
That's awesome. Do you feel like part of maybe the impetus for creating Love was also for, I mean, obviously that's probably a huge part of it. It's for your fans, you know, you really want to give them something that you have complete authorship over?
What do you mean?
I feel like with this record, you seem to have taken on a lot more than with previous records. And so I could see it being a thing where not only for yourself, you'd want to rise to the challenge, but maybe is it a thing where you're hoping to connect with your audiences on a deeper level now with this music that you've written and produced?
Absolutely, because I think, you know, I grew up with my fans, and growing up with each other, we all are growing up, which means we're dealing with different things in life other than dreams about being Shaq and then having these fake parties, you know. So this is all real stuff, and I identify with it. And my fans, we're not little kid like, but at the same time, I have a lot of little kid fans. So it's kind of crazy, but at the same time, you know, it's just like I think I still have a lot to prove, and with my fans, and I think my fandom, we have a lot to prove together. So I don't know. It's always an uphill battle, but I think that, you know, having the music, and it's definitely for them because we've grown up, and so the topic has to change, you know, and it has to become that we can all identify with on a general basis. And people right now are just enjoying the beat. Well, enjoy the beat. I thank you. I appreciate it. But then start tapping into the lyrics and listen to those. They're my real story. People haven't even started doing that yet. So they're just enjoying the beats right now. And once they tap into the fact that everything I'm writing and everything I'm doing is real, and it's real stories, then that is what it is.
I think that's amazing. I've got one final question and then I'll let you go. I know you're probably a super busy and packed today, but one of the questions I always like to ask my guests is, like I said, the podcast is called Super Hungry Conversations with Not So Starving Artists. And so I really like to kind of get to the heart of the passion and the fire behind the artist. But at the same time, I think as artists, we can all relate to there being points in the creative process where we kind of want to give up. You know, you feel like you want to just like pack it all in because maybe the idea that you're trying to get across in whatever medium is just, it feels too big or too much, you know. Was there ever a time when you were making Love specifically where you felt like, you know, maybe like, you know what, forget this, like I'm just gonna, you know, kind of pack it in and do, you know, maybe go get a 9-to-5. I don't know. I always tell myself I'm going to go like be a gardener or something where I can work with my hands. You know, was there ever a time where you, when you were making Love, like felt that? And then if there was, what was it that pulled you back? Because I think so many artists sometimes just need to feel that that camaraderie, you know, of like, oh, I've been there, but there was this thing that pulled me back and kept me going. So was there a time like that?
No, it was, for me, it was more like I lost everything after my parents divorced, but before I turned 18. And, you know, I was robbed as a little kid, you know, by parents and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, as soon as I turned 18 years old, I was also hit with like $7 million of taxes my parents didn't pay when I was 11 and I was 12. When I was 11 and I was 12, I had already been past the recording and the release of Aaron's Party. And we had already made hundreds of millions of dollars. And my parents were my managers, forgot to pay it. So I turned 18. I got hit with all these taxes. I got like a couple million dollars from my trust fund. I didn't want to have to pay all this money, you know, that was not mine. So I ended up having to file a bankruptcy, and I couldn't make money throughout my whole 20s, really, without the courts wanting to take all of my money to pay off the debt that my parents put me in when I was 11 and 12 years old, okay?
Right.
So then I had to figure out, like, what I was going to do. So I just kind of learned how to make beats and kept quiet until, you know, all the issues were resolved. And then finally, you know, I did a bankruptcy and you know, took the full thing, and I ended up getting a Chapter 7, which is called a full discharge, which means I don't ever have to pay anything, and I was wrongfully, you know, being prosecuted for something I didn't do. So Chapter 7 is a full discharge, meaning it all goes away, and I don't ever have to pay anything again. So I got that at like 27 years old, and then I had been working with other producers, and it just didn't work out, and, you know, so that was kind of like the struggle, though, that I had to go through, you know. So, and the whole time I didn't want to give up on making music. I always wanted to be doing music. I was never had it in my head that I was going to do anything else. Did I do other things? Yeah, I did like Dance with Stars, and I did Broadway, and, you know, to the best of my ability, but that's because it was still, you know, performing. But I wanted to be back doing this and what I'm doing now. And it just took a while and a series of unfortunate circumstances that led up to where I am today. And I'm not, you know, regretful or I don't hold any animosity towards anybody. I just, you know, look forward to the future and what's to come, you know, because you deal with stuff in your life, but you just got to keep moving forward. So, and I think at this point, like, you know, I never gave up. I never wanted there to be any other option for anything else that I did. I could never see myself doing anything else but being a musician or a performer.
I think that's amazing, honestly. And that's such an amazing, you know, takeaway that I hope when people hear this conversation, they really, you know, feel that. Because I feel like I hear it in the music, and I definitely hear it in the songs, and especially in the production value. And I don't know, I'm very happy for you. I'm very excited for you. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, the full Love album when it comes out later this year. I'm really looking forward to that. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for being on the show and for taking the questions. And, you know, I really feel like a lot of the artists, and especially the fans that listen to this, are going to be really inspired by this. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. And there may be people that might not be or might not understand the story, but it is what it is. And that's the thing that I think your listeners and people are trying to pursue things and pursue music and DIY, do it yourself. Like, who cares? Just keep doing it yourself, because there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And now I am living proof of it. I'm living proof that after being denied and shunned and boycotted, even by my own fan base, that I was able to come back and do it, because I can identify with myself, and my music is real. What I talk about and what I do is real. You can't, like, they can't argue that anymore. Like, somebody tweeted me the other day. They're like, oh, you know, I'm ashamed that this Aaron Carter EP is so good. It's amazing what good producers can do. Laugh out loud. And I tweeted back and said, isn't it though? Good thing I'm the producer too. And then the guy deleted his tweet, and I said, why'd you delete your tweet? He said, oh, because I think people misunderstood me. You've developed and grown into a great artist. Well, thank you. Hey, what's up? It's Aaron Carter, and you're listening to Super Hungry, the podcast.